Welcome to Books Highlighted Podcast. I'm your host, Thesia Ellis. Books are my passion, and I want to share this passion with you. Books old and new, fiction, nonfiction, action, self-help, memoirs, thrillers, dystopia, biography, historical fiction, mysteries, and as a Christian, I also take in some instructional or educational Christian books. I love books, and I love to read. As I read, I keep a highlighter in hand to mark the passages that speak to me. These passages will be the bulk of what I share with you. Some podcast episodes will be short, with only a few highlighted portions of a novel. Other books will be split into several podcasts, as the highlighted portions take in several pages. So let's get started. Today is May 18, 2024, and I'm reading The One Thing by Gary Keller with Papasan. And it was written in 2012. Now, this book is definitely going to take more than one episode to get through. If this were a video podcast, I'd show you how many sticky notes mark my highlighted pages. It is full of very valuable information that I have implemented in my life to get me to my goals faster. I look forward to reading this to you, as it will help remind me of things I may have forgotten since its first reading. So let's get started. First, let's get started with the back of the book. He says, you want less. You want fewer distractions and less on your plate. The daily barrage of emails, texts, tweets, messages, and meetings distract you and stress you out. The simultaneous demands of work and family are taking its toll. And what's the cost? Second-rate work, missed deadlines, smaller paychecks, fewer promotions, and lots of stress. And you want more. You want more productivity from your work, more income for a better lifestyle. You want more satisfaction from life and more time for yourself, your family, and your friends. Now you can have both, less and more. In The One Thing, you'll learn to cut through the clutter, achieve better results in less time, and build momentum toward your goal. Dial down the stress, overcome that overwhelmed feeling, revive your energy, stay on track, master what matters to you. The One Thing is the New York Times bestseller, which delivers extraordinary results in every area of your life. What's your one thing? I usually read the first page of any book too. As a person who's trying to learn to write, one of the things I learned is that when an editor or whomever you're wanting to look at your book, the first thing they look at is the opening paragraph, the opening page of a book, to determine if they're even interested in reading the rest of the book. So as I go through these, I always do the first page, or at least the first few paragraphs. So this is on chapter one, The One Thing, and it starts out with a quote. Be like a postage stamp. Stick to one thing until you get there. Josh Billings. On June 7, 1991, the earth moved for 112 minutes. Not really, but it felt that way. I was watching the hit comedy City Slickers, and the audience laughter rattled and rocked the theater. Considered one of the funniest movies of all time, it also sprinkled in unexpected doses of wisdom and insight. In one memorable scene, Curly, the gritty cowboy played by the late Jack Palance, and the city slicker, Mitch, played by Billy Crystal, leave the group to search for stray cattle. Although they had clashed most of the movie, riding along together, they finally connected over a conversation about life. Suddenly, Curly reins his horse to a stop and turns in the saddle to face Mitch. Curly, do you know what the secret of life is? Mitch, no. What? Mitch, no, what? Curly, this. He holds up one finger. Mitch, your finger? Curly, one thing, just one thing. You need to stick to that one thing, and nothing else means S-H-I-T. Mitch, that's great, but what's the one thing? And Curly said, that's what you've got to figure out. What's the one thing that you can do this week, such by doing it, everything else would be easier or unnecessary? Where I'd had a huge success, I had narrowed my concentration to one thing. And where my success varied, my focus had too. If everyone has the same number of hours in a day, Why do some people seem to get so much more done than others? How do they do more, achieve more, learn more, have more? If time is the currency of achievement, then why are some able to cash in their allotment for more chips than others? The answer is they make getting to the heart of things the heart of their approach. They go small. Going small is ignoring all the things you could do and doing what you should do. It's recognizing that not all things matter equally and finding the things that matter most. It's a tighter way to connect what you do with what you want. It's realizing that extraordinary results are directly determined by how narrow you can make your focus. The way to get the most out of your work and your life is to go as small as possible. Most people think just the opposite. They think big success is time-consuming and complicated. As a result, their calendars and to-do lists become overloaded and overwhelming. Success starts to feel out of reach, so they settle for less, unaware that big success comes when we do a few things well. They get lost trying to do too much and in the end accomplish too little. Over time, they lower their expectation, abandon their dreams, and allow their life to get small. This is the wrong thing to make small. The problem with trying to do too much is that even if it works, adding more to your work and your life without cutting anything brings a lot of bad with it. Missed deadlines, disappointing results, high stress, long hours, lost sleep, poor diet, no exercise, and missed moments with family and friends, all in the name of going after something that is easier to get than you might imagine. Chapter 2, The Domino Effect. So when you think about success, shoot for the moon. The moon is reachable if you prioritize everything and put all your energy into accomplishing the most important thing. Getting extraordinary results is all about creating a domino effect in your life. Toppling dominoes is pretty straightforward. You line them up and tip over the first one. In the real world, though, it's a bit more complicated. The challenge is that life doesn't line everything up for us and say, here's what you should, where you should start. Highly successful people know this. So every day they line up their priorities anew, find the lead domino and whack away at it until it falls. Chapter 3, Success Leaves Clues. This is another quote. You must be single-minded, drive for the one thing which you have decided. General George S. Patton. We sense intuitively that the path to more is through less, but the question is, where to begin? From all that life has to offer, how do you choose? How do you make the best decisions possible, experience life at an extraordinary level, and never look back? Live the one thing. Part 1, The Lies They Mislead and Derail Us. The 6 lies between you and success. Number 1, everything matters equally. Number 2, multitasking. Number 3, a disciplined life. Number 4, willpower is always on will call. Number 5, a balanced life. And number 6, big is bad. Chapter 4, Everything matters equally. Now, this is another quote. Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, I think that's how you pronounce that. In the world of achievement, everything doesn't matter equally. Equality is a lie. Understanding this is the basis of all great decisions. When everything feels urgent and important, everything seems equal. We become active and busy, but this doesn't actually move us any closer to success. Activity is often unrelated to productivity, and busyness really rarely takes care of business. Here's another quote. The things which are most important don't always scream the loudest. Bob Hawke. Knocking out 100 tasks for whatever the reasons is a poor substitute for doing even one task that is meaningful. Achievers operate differently. They have an eye for the essential. They pause just long enough to decide what matters and then allow what matters to drive their day. Achievers always work from a clear sense of priority. Most to-do lists are actually just survival lists, getting you through the day and in your life, but not making each day a stepping stone for the next so that you can sequentially build a successful life. Instead of a to-do list, you need a success list, a list that is purposely created around extraordinary results. The majority of what you want will come from the minority of what you do. Extraordinary results are disproportionately created by fewer actions than most. You can actually take 20% of the 20% of the 20% and continue until you get the single most important thing. No matter the task, mission, or goal, big or small, start with as large a list as you want, but develop the mindset that you will whittle your way from there to the critical few and not stop until you end with the essential one, the imperative one, the one thing. Don't focus on being busy, focus on being productive. Chapter 5, Multitasking. Every time we try to do two or more things at once, we're simply dividing up our focus and dumbing down all of the outcomes in the process. Here's the short list of how multitasking short circuits us. Number one, there's just so much brain capability at any one time. Divide it up as much as you want, but you'll pay a price in time and effectiveness. Number two, the more time you spend switched to another task, the less likely you are to get back to your original task. This is how the loose ends pile up. Number three, bounce between one activity and another, and you lose time as your brain reorients to the new task. Those milliseconds add up. Researchers estimate we lose 28% of an average workday to multitasking ineffectiveness. Number four, chronic multitaskers develop a distorted sense of how long it takes to do things. They almost always believe tasks take longer to complete than is actually required. Number five, multitaskers make more mistakes than non-multitaskers. They often make poorer decisions because they favor new information over old, even if the older information is more valuable. Multitaskers experience more life-reducing, happiness-squelching stress. Chapter 6, A Disciplined Life. You don't need to be a disciplined person to be successful. In fact, you can become successful with less discipline than you think. For one simple reason, success is about doing the right thing, not about doing everything right. When you do the right thing, it can liberate you from having to monitor everything. Number one, don't be a disciplined person. Be a person of powerful habits and use selected discipline to develop them. Number two, build one habit at a time. Success is sequential, not simultaneous. No one actually has the discipline to acquire more than one powerful new habit at a time. Super successful people aren't superhuman at all. They've just used selected discipline to develop a few significant habits, one at a time, over time. Repeatedly do, then achievement isn't an action that you take, but a habit you forge into your life. You don't have to seek out success. Harness the power of selected discipline to build the right habit, and extraordinary results will find. Chapter 7, Willpower is always on, will call. Willpower has a limited battery life that can be recharged with some downtime. It's a limited but renewable source. Everyone accepts that limited resources must be managed, yet we fail to recognize that willpower is one of them. We act as though our supply of willpower were in. The more we use our mind, the less minding power we have. Willpower is like a fast twitch muscle that gets tired and needs rest. It's incredibly powerful, but it has no endurance. Kathleen Vohs, V-O-H-S, puts it in Prevention Magazine in 2009. Willpower is like gas in your car. When you resist something tempting, you use some up. The more you resist, the emptier your tank gets until you run out of gas. The brain makes up 1/50th of our body mass, but consumes a staggering 1/5th of the calories we burn for energy. If your brain were a car, in terms of gas mileage, it'd be a Hummer. Most of our conscious activity is happening in our prefrontal cortex, the part of our brain responsible for focus, handling short-term memory, solving problems, and moderating impulse control. It's at the heart of what makes us human and the center for our executive control and power. The studies concluded that willpower is a mental muscle that doesn't bounce back quickly. If you employ it for one task, there will be less power available for the next unless you refuel. Foods that elevate blood sugar evenly over long periods, like complex carbohydrates and proteins, become the fuel of choice for high achievers, literal proof that you are what you eat. The researchers analyzed 1,112 parole board hearings assigned to 8 judges over a 10-month period, which incidentally amounted to 40% of Israel's total parole requests over that period. The pace is grueling. The judges hear arguments and take about 6 minutes to render a decision on 14 to 35 parole requests a day, and they get only 2 breaks, a morning snack and a late lunch, to rest and refuel. The impact of the schedule is as spectacular as it is surprising. In the morning and then after each break, parolees' chances for being released peaks at about 65% and then plunge to near zero by the end of each period. The results are more likely tied to the mental toll of repetitive decision-making. These are big decisions for the parolees and the public at large. High stakes and the assembly line rhythm demand intense focus throughout the day. As their energy is spent, judges mentally collapse in their default choice, which doesn't turn out well for the hopeful prisoners. The default decision for a parole judge is no. When in doubt and willpower is low, the prisoner stays behind bars. And if you're not careful, your default settings may convict you too. We lose our willpower not because we think about it, but because we don't. Without appreciating that it can come and go, we let it do exactly that. Without intentionally protecting it every day, we allow ourselves to go from a will and a way to no will and no way. If success is what we are after, this won't work. So how do you put your willpower to work? You think about it. Pay attention to it. Respect it. You make doing what matters most a priority when your willpower is at its highest. If you want to get the most out of your day, do your most important work, your one thing, early. Before your willpower is drawn down, since your self-control will be sapped throughout the day, use it when it's at full strength and what matters the most. Don't fight your willpower. Build your days around how it works and let it do its part to build your life. Willpower may not be on will call, but when you use it first on what matters most, you can always count on it. Chapter 8, A Balanced Life. We hear about balance so much, we automatically assume it's exactly what we should be seeking. It's not. Purpose, meaning, significance, these are what makes a successful life. Seek them and you will most certainly live your life out of balance, crisscrossing an invisible middle line as you pursue your priorities. The act of giving a full life by giving time to what matters is a balancing act. Extraordinary results require focused attention and time. Time on one thing means time away from another. This makes balance. The reason we shouldn't pursue balance is that the magic never happens in the middle. Magic happens in the extremes. The dilemma is that chasing the extremes presents real challenges. We naturally understand that success lies at the outer edges, but we don't know how to manage our lives while we're out there. Just like playing to the middle, playing to the extremes is kind of like middle mismanagement that plays out all the time. When you gamble with your time, you may be placing a bet you can't cover. Even if you're sure you can win, be careful that you can live with what you lose. So if achieving balance is a lie, then what do? Counterbalance. Replace the word balance with counterbalance, and what you experience makes sense. Things that we presume to have balance are really just counterbalancing. When we say we're out of balance, we're usually referring to a sense that some priorities, things that matter to us, are being underserved or unmet. The problem is that when you focus on what is truly important, something will always be underserved. No matter how hard you try, there will always be things left undone at the end of your day, week, months, year, and life. Trying to get to them all at once, trying to get them all done is folly. Leaving some things undone is a necessary trade-off for extraordinary results. But you can't leave everything undone, and that's where counterbalancing comes in. The idea of counterbalancing is that you never go so far that you can't find your way back or stay so long that there is nothing waiting for you when you return. There are two types of counterbalancing: the balancing between work and personal life, and the balancing within each. To achieve an extraordinary result, you must choose what matters most and give it all the time it demands. This requires getting extremely out of balance in relation to all other work issues, with only infrequent counterbalancing to address them. Whether or not to go out of balance isn't really the question. The question is, do you go short or long? In your personal life, go short and avoid long periods where you're out of balance. Imagine life as a game in which you're juggling five balls. The balls are called work, family, health, friends, and integrity. And you're keeping all of them in the air. But one day you finally come to understand that the work is a rubber ball. If you drop it, it'll bounce back. The other four balls, family, health, friends, integrity, are made of glass. If you drop one of these, it will be irrevocably scuffed, nicked, and perhaps even shattered. The question of balance is really a question of priority. When you change your language from balancing to prioritizing, you see your choices more clearly and open the door to changing your destiny. When you're supposed to be working, work. When you're supposed to be playing, play. It's a weird tightrope you're walking, but it's only when you get your priorities mixed up that things fall apart. Think about two balancing buckets. Separate your work life and personal life into the two distinct buckets, not to compartmentalize them, just for counterbalancing. Each has its own counterbalancing goals and approaches. Start leading a counterbalanced life. Let the right things take precedence when they should, and get to the rest when you... Chapter 9, Big is Bad. Big is bad is a lie. It is quite possibly the worst lie of all. For if you feel big success, you'll either avoid it or sabotage your efforts to achieve it. Place big and results in the same room, and a lot of people balk or walk. Mention big with achievement, and their first thoughts are hard, complicated, and time-consuming. Difficult to get there, and complex once you do, pretty much sums up their views. Overwhelming and intimidating is what they feel. For some reason, there's a fear that big success brings crushing pressure and stress, that the pursuit of it robs them not only of time with family and friends, but eventually their health. Uncertain of the right to achieve big, or fearful of what might happen if they try and fall short, their head spins just thinking about it, and they immediately doubt they have a head for heights. Lowering our trajectory feels safe. Staying where we are feels prudent, but the opposite is true. When big is believed to be bad and small thinking rules the day, and big never sees the light of it. No one knows their ultimate ceiling for achievement, so worrying about it is a waste of time. Thinking of big is essential to extraordinary results. Success requires action, and action requires thought. The only actions that become springboards to succeeding big are those informed by big thinking to begin with. Make this connection, and the importance of how big you think begins. Everyone has the same amount of time, and hard work is simply hard work. As a result, what you do in the time you work, determines what you achieve. And since what you do is determined by what you think, how big you think becomes a launching pad for how high you achieve. Think as big as you possibly can and base what you do, how you do it, and who you do it with on succeeding at that level. It just might take more than your lifetime. So run into the walls of a box this way. It might just take more than your lifetime to run into the walls of a box this big. What you build today will either empower or restrict you tomorrow. Here's another quote. The rung of a ladder was never meant to rest upon, but only to hold a man's foot long enough to enable him to put the other other somewhat higher. Thomas Henry Huxley. Oh, what did I mess up here? It will either serve as a platform for the next level of success or as a box, trapping you where you are. Big requires growth, and by the time you arrive, you're big too. That seems an insurmountable mountain from a distance. It's just a small hill when you arrive, at least in proportion to the person you become. Your thinking, your skills, your relationships, your sense of what is possible, and what it takes all grow on the journey to big. As you experience big, you think big. Avoid incremental thinking that simply asks, what do I do next? This is, at best, the slow lane to success, and at worst, the off-ramp. Set a goal so far above what you want that you'll be building a plan that practically guarantees your original goal. People who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the only ones who do. It's as much a part of your journey to extraordinary results as success. Okay, I'm hoping I'm picking up this on picking up the right part. That was the end of part one. I'm going to stop here and do part two the next time. It's looking like it's going to take 3 episodes to get this done, and I think this is a good time to stop. I was going to tell you about the Self-Reliance Festival. This is the festival that I really enjoy talking about when I'm when I go to Camden, Tennessee. It's a for the regular price. It's Saturday and Sunday, and it's one price. You can then, but now they've added classes and they've got all kinds of stuff. There's several different tiers that you can get into. Like there's classes on Friday, along with all the things that happen on Saturday and Sunday. And sometimes they even add stuff in on Monday. And there's even a bigger level than that where you can have as a VIP pass. There's a digital level. So if you think about you want to go to that, go to my link below at Self-Reliance Festival. It won't cost you anything more. I tell you what, it is an event that I really enjoy going to. There are so many different personalities, but all of them want to help each other, to help you and get you on the track of what it is that you want in your life. And I've really enjoyed every time I've gone. So like I said, that Self-Reliance Festival, that's going to be here in October. And so check out the link below. I can be found at Farm Animal Life YouTube channel. That's not one of my main ones. That is where I put a camera in a brooder, or I put one in with the piglets the other day, and I just leave it there and it goes for about an hour before the battery wears down, and then I can have footage on it. I put that on my Farm Animal Life thing, and then as I'm going through, I find stuff that's for shorts. So I put little short videos because every once in a while a piglet or a bird will do something funny or interesting, and I'll make little short videos of that. So that's Farm Animal Life YouTube channel. I have a website, grandmashomestead.farm. My main YouTube channel is Grandma's Homestead. And I also have a side one for Kinsey Lackey, my granddaughter, where I record all her sports stuff as Kinsey Lackey Sports. I have another podcast, this Grandma's Life podcast. And I can also be found on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, MeWe, Twitter, and Rumble. Those are all under some variants of Thecia Ellis, Thecia Ellis. All right, guys, that's all I've got for you next time. And we will pick back up on part two this next time. Well, I was going to say, and chapter 10. All right, guys, God bless. I'll see you next time.